He was a Marine and then a state trooper. He's worked with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the city. He's a man of faith and a dogged advocate for young people of all backgrounds. Since 2003, he's been an institution on the Westside Airwaves. Get your pen or your pad or your electronic device. School Talk has arrived. Now, here's your host, Emerson.
Get ready. I can't hear myself.
There you go.
No, I can't hear myself.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. My name is Emerson once again for the 1,214th time, but who's counting? I got that new math going, you know. Back in the day, they had calculators. Now they call them calculators. They call them the same thing. You can call in at 244-9234-244-WBDG if you want to. You can do that because I got stuff and things I want to talk about. You just might learn something today about what we're got going on today with my special guest today. So you just might know something and learn something. But as always, this is a student-produced show, and I wouldn't do nothing without my producer. Good morning, Caesar.
Good morning, Mr.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Don't you call me Mr. You're not in the military yet. I'm just kidding. But Mr. is cool. I really appreciate the respect, you know, because a lot of times kids say, what do I call you? Do I call you Mr. Allen? Do I call you Emerson? I said, well, when I'm in my radio role, call me Emerson. I'm in radio. If I'm teaching or substituting, it's like, it's Mr. Allen, you know, so I appreciate it. And just don't call me late for dinner. So, just don't do that one. So, what's going on with the kids, man? The scholars. I still call them kids, Caesar. I still call y'all my kids. What's happening with the scholars? What's going with the thing we call the
the Big Board?
Well, the Ben Davis Theater has Phantom of the Opera or Opera.
Oprah? Oh, wait. Phantom of the Okra. I'm just kidding.
Phantom of the Opera, October 5th and 6th, which is today and tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the Ben Davis Theater in School Talk with Emerson, which is happening right now. Our replay is on Sunday at 2 p.m., but you can also find it on Audio Boom at WBDG FM. And also make sure to follow us on all social media platforms at WBDG Indy. And today's Football Friday night, senior night. Lawrence Central at Ben Davis. The kickoff starts at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Our coverage starts at 6 p.m.
Get that crazy guy.
And our Unified Flag Football Regional at Giant Stadium. It's Zionsville at Ben Davis. Game is at 2 p.m. Saturday.
Woo! What's that thing that you just did there? Awesome. Yeah, like I said, we got stuff and things in the studio for you today. I got news. It's like you saw in the, let me turn the lights on here so I can see. On Fox 59, it said, Fox 59 got something called The Big Board, too. You know that?
I didn't know that.
I saw it on the internet. It said, The Big Board, Indianapolis, Indiana. Members of the Indiana Task Force 1 are headed down to the Tar Heel State as residents there prepared for Hurricane Florence to make landfall. Let me read the paragraph. Quote, we'll travel overnight. Overnight, y'all. We're always determined whether we need to stop somewhere between here and our destination. And that's really for safety purposes, said Indiana Task Force 1 Public Information Officer Michael Pruitt. Now live in the studios. Yes, it is. WBDG, he's live. He really is. He's not on fire. He's not on water. But he's here. Indiana Task Force 1 Public Information Officer Michael Pruitt. Welcome to School Talk.
Good morning.
Push the magic button. Push that magic button.
Good morning.
You're an awesome guy, man.
Thank you.
Y'all do a lot of stuff.
We do. We tend to get right in the mix of all the bad stuff.
I mean, in the mix. Y'all get in it. I mean, gosh, that's got to be exciting and scary at the same time.
It is. I mean, that's what we get in this business for. That's what we train for, to get right in the middle of the mix.
I'm going to dig deep down into Task Force 1, but I want to know about Michael Pruitt. Who's Michael Pruitt? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to college? What's up with that?
So I went to Franklin Community High School.
Okay.
Down in Johnson County a long time ago. And a long time ago. It's been a while.
I'm 63, so we can say that. But you're younger than me.
I'm 53.
Oh, you're a puppy.
So we're 10 years apart. So I still live in a little community called Bartersville. It's in South Indianapolis. And Married, got one son who's a TCOM major at Ball State.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets into this media thing also and really likes that. And so that kind of sums me up. In the short course, I've been with Wayne Township Fire Department here for just going on about 20 years.
Wow. That's awesome. Task Force 1. Now, okay. Now, Task Force 1, you're the PIO, Public Information Officer. I'm the one you talk to when you need no stuff. I tell you the real stuff. I don't mess around. I'm just kidding. But anyway, how long you been a firefighter?
I've been a firefighter totally for 35 years.
35 years. Okay. As a youngster, was it what you wanted to do?
I grew up on a farm. And really didn't think much about it. Then I became a volunteer firefighter in my community and got a taste for it. And then I went into the Navy.
Oh, thank you for your service.
Yeah, came out of the Navy after 4 years and ended up getting my first full-time job as a career firefighter with the City of Franklin Fire Department in 1993.
So how were you when you first got the taste to be a firefighter? When did the thought?
I was 16 years old.
16. And I asked that for a particular reason because of our fire service that Wayne Township offers for our young people. And when I'm 63, and I think I would have done better in high school if I would have had a better dream. And folks around me helped me cultivate that dream. Like we got at 16 now, 15 or 14 or 13, whatever. If you got a desire to be a firefighter, the way our education system is set up here at Wayne Township and other townships too. You know, you can get involved in fire service while you're in high school.
Yeah.
Through our Air 31 program.
Yeah, we didn't have that when I was in high school. So we didn't have those opportunities. So I see the kids going through the training now and what I would have given to have that back in the day.
Oh, man. I would give my baby toe. not my big toe. You need that to stand up. My baby toe. Because, you know, I love radio and I love TV, but we would have had it back in 1972, my hometown of Terre Haute, Indiana, because we have five high schools. I went through all of them. I was a knucklehead. And then I finally got in the Marine Corps, and I got in front of a man I couldn't spit down, talk down, yell down, or beat down. And he said if I wanted any rank in his Marine Corps, I had to go back to high school. So I got my GED while I was in the Marine Corps in Charleston, South Carolina. Speaking of South Carolina, and I love South Carolina. Y'all down there in North Carolina, the Tahir State. Now, I saw some cuts on the internet of some of the scenes that you guys were involved in down there. But can you tell me how Task Force 1 kind of got started?
So back in the 90s, FEMA formed up what is now 28 urban search and rescue task forces across the United States. And so those teams are set up so when the local governments and state governments get overwhelmed and need additional rescue services, then the federal government dispatches these teams to assist. Now, these teams are made up of local firefighters, police officers, and civilians, and that's what makes up the team. So it's your local people who become part-time employees for the federal government to respond to these major disasters.
Wow. And there's 28 different teams nationally. Now, some of the things that you guys have been involved in recently was the hurricane down in the Carolinas, and history shows that you guys go back a long way. Of all the things that you've been involved in, can you tell me? I don't want to use the word exciting because it. I don't want to sound like oh man, he's just a chaser, but it is exciting. But can you tell me? Is there such a one that's hit you the most or?
Last year I was deployed to Puerto Rico for Hurricane Maria.
Okay.
That was probably the biggest challenge for me as far as a member of the FEMA USAR system.
Mm-hmm.
We rode the storm out, and then as most of everyone knows that followed along the Puerto Rico situation with the storm and how bad it was down there. It was a struggle for everyone to get back on their feet down there, whether you're an emergency responder or someone that lived there and begin operations just because there was so much devastation down there in the Puerto Rico area. So that was one of our biggest storms, our biggest challenges that we had. And then this Hurricane Florence that we just went on was probably one of the most hair-raising storms that we'd been on because not necessarily so much of the hurricane itself, but the flooding that came after.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pulled about 100 people from flooding homes in the middle of the night. And when you can't see and there's so much damage and there's power lines down and there's moving water and you're working in the nighttime setting in an area that you're not familiar with, it's dicey. And for once, and one of the things that I do in the field is a safety officer for the task force on top of doing their public information. But as a safety officer, and you're having to keep a 360-degree view of what's going on and making sure that folks are safe, you know, we know the job is inherently dangerous and it's challenging, but we have to rely on our training to kick in under those tense situations where the water is rising. People need help. We're going in and out of communities trying to load people onto boats. So that was probably the most, I would say, the scariest situation that I had been in since being on the team.
Wow. And people would think that you're a grown man. You don't get scared. Yeah, we do. We're talking to Michael Pruitt, the PIO for the Task Force One. I'm going to take about 30 seconds to clear the board for a second. Got some more questions, but we'll come on back to school talk. We'll talk some more stuff about fire safety.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore, so you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today, so it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Developing healthy habits around food and physical activity are important to start early. I'm Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. The 5210 program is an easy way for parents to help their children develop healthy habits that will help them become healthier adults. Ideally, kids will eat five or more fruits and veggies a day, limit screen time to no more than 2 hours a day, exercise for 1 hour a day, and drink zero sugary drinks. In doing so, they are creating healthy habits that will continue as they grow into adults. This Kids Count Minute is a message from the Indiana Youth Institute. For more parent tips, visit iyi.org/kids.
And this has been another edition of...
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. What I'm talking about when I say it don't make no sense, Michael Pruitt, is this. A couple reasons I got... You give me a couple reasons why you should be versus to the ones that I say. I'm going to give you a couple reasons you don't want a fire service, join the fire service. And you give me a couple why you should. You shouldn't join the fire service if you don't want to get out of bed.
That is true. At all hours.
Hours are crazy.
They are. I used to work in the firehouse, and so you would get up at all hours. And still, as a public information officer, 1-2 o'clock in the morning, if the firefighters get called out to a fire or a major incident, I'm up out of bed and on the go, too. So I didn't get away from that part of it, of having short periods of sleep.
Yeah. Another reason why you shouldn't join the fire service is, you don't like sleeping out of your own bed.
No, I mean, we try to purchase comfortable beds to sleep in, but it's nothing like home.
Another reason you shouldn't join the fire service, you don't want to leave home.
Right? You know, there are mornings I wake up, man, I just love just to hang out at the house and just chill, you know?
You guys are 24 hours at the station when you're on duty.
24 on, 48 off. Yeah. So, you know, but... In the big picture of things, it's a great job, and you get to work with a bunch of other folks that like coming to work and got into this business for the same reason.
And don't want to join the fire service if you don't want to work out.
Yeah, you don't work out. You just want to be around, lay around like a slug, man. Then don't join the fire service. So
I just know. I've seen you guys, some of you guys train at the West Side facility, and those fire hoses aren't too, they're not really light.
No, they're not, especially when you fill them with water.
Yeah.
You know, they even get heavier. And then you add a little sub-zero temperatures and it freezes up. It even gets to be more fun dragging hose around.
Oh, man, that's crazy. You know, now firefighters, I always say firefighters, police officers, and I put teachers should be some of the highest paid professions in the world. And the reason why I said it is because what you do, you do things on behalf of strangers you don't even know.
Yep.
I mean, you don't know the folks in down in North Carolina or the folks down in Puerto Rico, even locally when you deal with a house fire, you don't know people, but you serve. What does that come from?
You know, it's one of those things that with me and I know many others that serve with me, it just clicks. It's one day you're looking, and whether you've thought about doing this all your life, or if one day you're scrolling through social media or you have a friend that works in the business and all of a sudden, hey, you should try out for the fire department. And I don't think a lot of people stop and think about doing that.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people later in life going, man, I wish I would have tried out for the fire department or the police department or be a paramedic or, you know, whatever the case. But it's just one of those things, like with me, it just clicked. And, you know, I like serving the community.
Yeah.
And this was my best option for doing it and getting paid to do it. So that was even better.
They say if you get paid for doing something you like, you'll never work another day in your life.
Yeah, that is a very true statement. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about, I don't want to get up in the morning off that couch. I'd like to stay there and watch a little TV. But, you know, once I get up, get rolling, I'm excited about what I'm going to see for today as far as what's going on out here, especially on the west side, because we always have some exciting thing going on, whether it's training or we're responding to a call. And what, you know, when I say I get excited about that is, like, we train so much.
Yeah.
And to be able to put that training to work when people are having their worst day and watch us come out with a success, whether someone's having a medical issue or a fire or a hazmat spill, and watching all that training come together. And then I as a public information officer get to tell the story about the work that our folks are doing. You know, that's why I like coming to work. I like telling the people who pay our taxes
right
and support our department what we do, and help them understand where their money's going and you know, what we're doing with it.
Yeah, we need it. Because look at you. Folks, go on the internet, you see some of the things that Task Force 1 going way back in 19... I mean, going way back. I mean, even 1994, the West Lafayette, Indiana tornado response. 1995, Hurricane Maryland. 1996, Summer Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. 1999, Hurricane Floyd. 2001, World Trade Center, New York. 2003, Hurricane Isabel. I can go on and on and on. This is 2018. I didn't got a lot of gaps to fill. There's a lot going on there. Young people, this is Student Produce Show. What would you say to my young people who are thinking about fire? What are some of the things they can do now? I mean, because you got to really, you just can't. Now that I understand you have a background investigation, but you gotta have the right temperament and the right attitude even to go into a fire service program here at Wayne County. What do you tell our young people about as it pertains to growing up and if you want to be a firefighter?
Well, you know, whether you're going to be a firefighter or whatever occupation you choose, the one thing I always tell people when they ask me, you know, how are you successful in your occupation? And I always tell everybody, do what you told them you were going to do in your oral interview. You know, so if you've done everything to prepare, so if you've been fortunate to go through the school training at the high school level for firefighter, and that's not always required. I mean, we have a lot of firefighters on our department that we have some accountants, we have architects.
Okay.
Who decided, you know, I just don't like my profession I'm in. I think I'm going to go try out for the fire department. And so then they try out for the fire department, they get hired, but they still do some of their work like accounting. We have attorneys in the fire service that have chosen to do the attorney part-time.
Now I know why they did that.
Yeah. So,
I'm just kidding.
But, you know, these days kids can start preparing their career. I mean, as far back as middle school, and they start thinking, because a lot of times our high schools like Ben Davis here offer so many opportunities for you to get training now. And so when you hit that road running, whether you're going on to college or you're going to go out and enter the job field right out of high school, you're trained. And we even lowered our hiring age to 18 a few years ago. It had been 21. It had been kind of like the age that everybody uses. And because we felt that we were missing an opportunity to capture good people coming out of high school with training and giving them the opportunity to land a job with us before they turn 21. So if you could serve your country in the military then at 18, then why not be able to serve your fire department at 18? And so, you know, we were trying to reach out and get some of those folks before they drifted away into another profession and that kind of 3-year gap.
Yeah. Speaking of military and going away, listen to us on the Facebook Live right now is Tony Canada. He's over in the Middle East.
Listen, thank you for your service.
Ben Davis graduate. Good morning, Tony. It's awesome. You think about your position. I mean, now you're a captain, public information officer. Did you ever think it would be as it is now? Did you think it would be always be like this? You think it would be? Is it all that you thought it would be or more?
Something, you know, opportunity, and it's, you know, so let me give you an example. So when I first got into this, I had no idea that I would be a public information officer and be working with the media. Also, one of the other things that we have now in the fire service are drones, where we're flying drones.
Yeah, saw that.
So I would have never imagined in a million years that we'd be flying drones and I would be a drone pilot flying these around and supporting not only our firefighters, but law enforcement also. And so these are little things that come up in the career that are new surprises or new things that we venture out in. So I get surprised every year with something new that comes to the fire service and some of the new challenges that, you know, our paramedics, EMTs, and firefighters face.
Yeah, as in that department, an unmanned aerial vehicle program, I can see the importance of that. If you're at even in training or a fire scene and to get a view of what you're looking down at, is that how you guys use it?
It's a whole new set of eyes for our incident commanders, because if I'm the fire chief and I'm pulling up in front of a burning home, I only really see one side of it, because I'm sitting in my command vehicle listening to what's going on, directing the firefighters and taking information from them that they're reporting. But if I get an overhead view of all what's going on all the way around the house or a large building or a hazmat incident, or a natural disaster, you know, we have a tornado comes through. Yeah. If I can get eyes on for what the true picture is, that's going to be able to allow them to deploy resources better, call for more resources if they need those, and which is going to benefit the citizens in the long run. So they've been very beneficial as we started using them about 3 years ago. So it's been pretty cool.
Who thinks of that? I mean, you see it. I see it on real estate shows, people showing their real estate property. You see other shows with it. But I never thought about fire service. That's why I'm not a fireman. The capabilities of Task Force 1, conduct physical search, rescue operations, and damage, collapse structures. Doggies.
We got doggies. So we have search and rescue canines.
Yeah.
And these dogs alert on live human beings as we may search piles of rubble or we may be working through tall grass or wooded areas. So these dogs are air scent dogs, and they will alert when they know someone's around or they find somebody. Now, the other role that they play, and I saw this in Puerto Rico in Hurricane Florence, is therapy dogs. Because there ain't nothing better than coming back from a hard day's work and you get to see a puppy, you know, and also for the residents. Yeah. So last year when I was in Puerto Rico and we were in the hotel riding out the hurricane as it was rolling in, there were kids of vacationers that were in the hotel that our teams were staying in. And, you know, this building's rocking and rolling and creaking and making all kinds of noises. The dogs and the kids were all huddled up together during the storm. So they're a dual purpose, but we love our dogs and everybody else loves our dogs. So you could have the most important people in the world getting ready to do an interview or getting ready to talk to somebody, but you walk up with a couple pups the task force and everybody's focus changes to those dogs.
So. It's so true. I miss my dog, and my dog passed and then I had to take him to the vet. I cried all the way home from the vet. And it was so, really, I don't want another pet because it was really kind of that deep. And I see how folks are about their pets because they are emotional rocks for you, you might say, when you need that. I get a pet rock or a tap home. I can't get it.
They're family. They're family.
Yeah. Give me a pet rock. It's just I'll just play with the rock. You know, I just can't do it. We got about 3 minutes left. What's going on in Wayne Township that our folks need to know about? Anything going on as far as you just give away free smoke detectors sometimes during the year?
Yes. If you need a smoke alarm. Mm-hmm. For your home, you can come by our fire headquarters, and they have you fill out a little paperwork, and they will issue you up to 2 free smoke alarms. Or if you, like Fire Prevention Week's coming up next week, so everybody needs to start getting in, you know, that fire safety mind, having a plan, checking those smoke alarms, which we should always be doing.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go to the store and buy a smoke alarm, I always like to preach this a little bit, and you're looking at that vast array of all the selections of smoke alarms, because you can get them for, I don't know, $10, and you can get expensive ones that'll let your iPhone know that there's a smoke alarm going off in your home, and you get over $100. But the main thing I want people to look at when they're shopping is look for the dual sensor. Dual sensor, and it'll have a P and an I, and that stands for photoelectric or ionization. Now, I'm not going to get down into the science of those, but...
But he could, y'all.
If you can buy one that has that dual sensor in it, it's just one detects a fast-moving fire, and the other one would detect a smoldering fire. Wow. The smoldering fire can off gas and put poisonous gases into the air, and you'd never know it. And that's where you wouldn't get alerted. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of people lose their lives because they didn't have a working smoke alarm that alerted them. So go there, spend some money. I mean, we're talking about spending some money on something that's going to keep you and your family alive in the event of a fire, because no one ever thinks it's going to happen to them. But I guarantee you, I've been on a lot of house fires where after the fact, people were like, I never in the world thought it would ever happen to me.
That's so sad. And that is so sad. And one thing, and this might sound crazy or comical, is like, you know, people always say that it don't happen to me, it happens to the other people. Mm-hmm. But to the other people, it's you. So if I say, don't happen to me, it happens to other people. Well, other people are saying the same thing about you. So I'm the you in other people's verbiage, you know. It's so important for a small amount of money to protect yourself with a smoke alarm. Like I said, if you can't afford one, please go down to the fire department and get it. It's so, I don't want to say it's so something to go get, but it's something that's so small that can be so, it can save so many lives.
Oh, absolutely.
And I hate seeing that. It breaks my heart when I see it on TV when they say a fire would have been prevented, but their life would have been saved if they had a working smoke detector.
We've had over 60 fatal fires in the state of Indiana since January 1 of 2018. And many of those did not have a working smoke alarm. So it's just not worth the risk.
Yeah.
And, you know, these days you buy one that's got a 10-year battery in it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about changing that battery every year. Like we preach, you buy the 10-year battery, and when that 10 years up, you throw it away and you get another one.
And live and just enjoy this life, because, you know, life is hard sometimes, but life is good.
It is.
I don't care what nobody says. But because it's both easy to call it a picnic. Life is not called a picnic. It's called life, but it's good.
Yes.
Well, Captain, I appreciate you coming in, talking to us. Anytime you got something going in Wayne Township, I mean, you got an open invitation to come to knock on the window. Emerson, I got something I want to say. We'll just break down the door and let you on in, because this is fire safety is so important. What you do with Task Force 1 is so important. What you do in Wayne Township is awesomely, is that a word? Awesomely important.
It's a new word today. I'm going with it. It's Friday. You can make up anything you want.
Bing, bang, bang. I have no idea what I just said. But we appreciate you, man. And you'd be safe out there when you're fighting the fires on behalf of our citizens of Wayne Township in the state of Indiana.
Thank you for having me.
Wait a minute. Of the world. Of the world. Firefighter of the world. Puerto Rico, the world. I mean, he goes everywhere. He got to go. Thank you, sir. High five. Appreciate you, sir. Well, we've done it. Next show next week. Don't know what the topic's going to be, but I know these kids got to go to, there I go again, call them kids. The scholars got to go to the class and learn something about being older scholars. But we thank the Captain Mike Pruitt, PIO for Task Force 1, for coming in. Our own Wayne Township. I used to be on the merit board.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's right.
That was fun. You guys, now they're serious about on the fire department. They're serious about in their business also. So that was fun. Anyway, go to class. To the test. I left it. We gotta go. So I'm gonna say this to the parents and to the teachers. Our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what's going to be given back. And just remember, your future is in the hands of the one you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Be a copycat like Captain Mike Pruitt. You could go all the way. And young man, be a man. Up your pants. I can't stand sagging. They say it's getting better. I was told that they're sagging less. But if I see one person sagging, it's too much. Captain, what do you think about sagging?
I like to wear a belt and keep it pulled up tight. That's
I mean, if you have a fire and you start running, you're going to trip. I mean, the fire drill will come out, ding, 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 ding. You running your pants down by the ankles, you're going to trip. That's a safety hazard. You hurt somebody else. It don't make no sense. Pull up your pants. Give me a connection. The views dispersed in the schools are not necessarily views. Them to your Wayne Township, Bendis High School, Giant 90.9. Then my views, the views of my guests. Until next week, let's ask to do something that's totally off the wall. I'll be back. See you next week on Go Talk.